Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Did you ever hear the expression, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade? Well, when Eric Metaxas was little, he had his own lemonade stand. And he sold so much lemonade, he became rich beyond his wildest dreams. Now, he's able to do whatever he wants. And he's now the host of a big-time radio show. Welcome the guy who's oh so lemony sweet, Eric Metaxas!
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hey there, folks. In case you were wondering, I get to continue my conversation with Canon J. John and his wife, Killy. The book that we've been discussing and that we'll continue to discuss is titled Heroes of the Faith, about 50 heroes of the faith. I'm surprised in some ways that the title wasn't already taken. It seems like there would be 100. There probably are 100 books with this title, but this is the one that people must get.
Well, it's current. It's conveyed in a way that's going to be accessible to people today. So
not like those other lousy Heroes of the Faith books that are available, which you shouldn't buy. No, but it's true, though. This book, I said it in our previous conversation, it's a very beautiful book. It is accessible. I really can't praise it enough. It's very beautiful, and it's the sort of book you could use for homeschool or for whatever. You can. There aren't many books that you can flip through.
Yes.
In the way that you can flip through this book. There's something about it that it seems to lend itself to that. You don't feel an obligation like, I've got to read it, I've got to read it. You can just take in a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, we hoped and produced it in such a way, it's a coffee table book, that it's always going to be out to pick up and dip in.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll infuse in people a little bit of faith, hope, and love.
Well, I'm sure that it will. I can't say enough how beautiful it is. Now, you self-publish,
yes,
which I find all the more impressive. Usually self-published books are lacking something aesthetically, visually, as we say here in America. But yeah, you've done a beautiful job on every level. The design of it is beautiful.
And one of the reasons, of course I wrote for various publishers over the years, but what we really wanted to do, the thing that prompted us in self-publishing, and we produced children's books and created an imprint called Theology for Little People, is that we're able to distribute them. So, for example, we were able to distribute 3,000 children's books to 55 children's hospices and children's hospitals around the United Kingdom. And, I mean, that was a massive project. So that's one of our projects. We distribute resources and books to 120 prisons in the United Kingdom. Oh. So by self-publishing,
yeah,
we are able, because of the cost,
yeah,
be able to do that,
yeah,
much more than we were before.
My goodness, there are so many figures in the book, and I want to spend the time going over those that we haven't mentioned in our first conversation together. But you wanted me in the course of this conversation to talk a little bit with you about the Ten Commandments. And now that I'm sitting here with you, you realize every time a word comes out of my mouth, I say the Ten Commandments, and I hear myself. So I should be saying commandments, not commandments. But it is so funny to me that I prefer the way you pronounce most things. So thank you for making me feel uncomfortable. Please continue.
Now, let me ask you a question, Eric. How many times did God in the Bible write with his finger?
I'm thinking twice.
Okay, right. He wrote once, and he wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger.
We know what he wrote the first time.
Yes.
The second time, for all we know, he may have been doodling. We don't.
Okay. We agree. But he wrote the Ten Commandments. Okay, and he wrote on the wall in
Nebuchadnezzar's palace.
Yes.
He wrote on
the wall.
On the wall.
Okay, and then the Son of God wrote in the sand with his finger.
Yeah.
So the first.
And it does say write, right?
Right.
So he didn't doodle. He was writing something.
That's
with his finger. What
finger.
A concept, yeah.
Yeah, so the first one, he wrote the Ten Commandments. That's law.
Yeah.
Then he wrote on the wall. That's judgment.
Judgment.
And then he wrote on this in the sand. That's grace. And somehow we have to hold law, judgment, and grace together, which is fascinating. Now, I have preached and taught the Ten Commandments 37 times around the United Kingdom, and just over 1 million people have attended the meetings. Now, I do them in reverse order. So I start with coveting, how to find true contentment. And then I do lying, how to hold to the truth. Then I do stealing, how to prosper with a clear conscience. After I've done the stealing one, I ask everybody to return their stolen goods to their rightful owner. And if they can't, we introduce amnesty trash cans and they bring their stolen goods.
Wait a minute. You're saying this literally.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. So we did 37 cities, and they put in £500,000 worth of cash into the trash cans. We had envelopes with £20,000 inside, anonymous note. We got burgled 20 years ago and claimed for jewellery that was never stolen. Other people... There was one, £25,000, and the lady said, I was the matron of a nursing home, and I stole old people's jewellery, and I want to return it. And I said to people, when I'm teaching this, have you ever phoned in at work and said you're sick when you're not sick?
Yeah.
Because if you have, you've stolen from your employer.
Yeah.
Did you know that 95% of sick days are Monday and Friday?
Yeah.
Who wants a long weekend?
Yeah.
That's a
coincidence.
Well,
if you're sick, who can blame you?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, and then I go on and we do adultery, how to have fair pre-fill relationships, and then they bring their partners and put them into the trash cans. No.
Stop
but,
it.
But murder, wow. Eric, murder, how to manage your anger. We had an amnesty for knives, guns and ammunition. And in Liverpool, I did it in Liverpool Cathedral, and it was jammed. We had so much ammunition that the police had to send two vehicles to come and take it all away.
Don't light a match at one of his crusades. Seriously, that's just yeah. so... I mean, wow. I hardly know what to say because I'm amazed at the... how do I put it? The, you know, the practical aspect of this, the idea that you're not just talking about it, but you're giving people an opportunity genuinely to repent, to give the money back. And if they can't, then to put it in these trash cans to be, I'm not sure what you do with it. Yeah. But I mean, the idea that you're giving people the opportunity. But the reason I bring this up in part is that I think one of the problems, you know, with those of us who would describe ourselves as evangelicals, but Christians in general, is that we forget that these kinds of practical things are helpful for our inner repentance.
Absolutely.
We act as though, well, I did it in my head. And it's like, well, no. You know, and because we're very quick, or many people are very quick, to criticize, you know, Roman Catholics for, well, they've got this and they do that. And you think, well, that can go wrong, but it can also go right when you give someone an opportunity to act out this repentance or whatever it is. Definitely. So how wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you ever get the idea of doing this? That's amazing.
Well, it started in the year 1999 when we're going into a new year, new millennium, and everyone's seeking the Lord. I'm seeking the Lord. What shall I focus on, Lord? And I just felt the Lord say, teach the Ten Commandments. That's what I felt. And it was such a curveball. Do you remember we talked about it? And it seemed odd. Is this a God idea or a good idea? And then I thought, well, how about if I try it out in my church, my own church, and just see what happens? And it was incredible. I mean, when we got to the idols, I said to them, right, if you've got any idols, anything dark, occultic, witchcraft, bring it all back. And they would bring everything. Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystals.
Oh, my gosh. Crystals. All right, hang on. We're going to go to a break. I'm almost too much enjoying my conversation with Canon J. John and Killy. The book is Heroes of the Faith. Beautiful book. We'll be right back. With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact. What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
I continue my conversation with Canon J. John. Canon is an English Church of England term.
It is. If I was a Catholic, I'd be Monsignor.
Monsignor.
That kind of sounds better, doesn't it? A bit more gravitas.
What if you were Pentecostal? You'd be a bishop. Okay.
Yes.
So we're talking to Canon J. John and his wife, Killy. The book is Heroes of the Faith. Gorgeous book. But we're talking about the Ten Commandments, as I pronounce it self-consciously. Commandments, Eric.
Yes.
But you were just saying about preaching on the Ten Commandments in your local parish, and you came to talking about idols. So please talk about that.
Yes, and then I do them in reverse order, Eric, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And when I got to the stealing one, I just felt prompted to get people to return their stolen goods. And as I continued with the commandments, I felt, okay, how can we be practical? And so when I got to the idols one, I just said, look, have you got anything that is unhealthy in your home? Have you got anything that God forbids?
Okay, but what I love here is that the standard response to this is that we can only have idols in our hearts, not actual idols. Of course we have idols in our hearts, but you are talking about, yes, we can get to that, but actual idols, actual objects that are occultic or somehow forbidden.
Which people have as art. And it's incredible. I mean, we go around museums viewing things that God forbids.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, sure.
Anyway, now I didn't itemize them.
Yeah.
I just said, if there is anything that you feel uncomfortable with, and then the following week they brought Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystals.
People from your church.
People, because so many visitors had come.
Okay, because people attending your church for some time, I would think eventually they would know this stuff, but not everyone hears it.
Killy?
I think that's the thing. Not everybody hears it. And so, you know, how often do you hear a talk on the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, right.
And also practical application is always a good thing, isn't it?
And then restitution. You were talking about Zacchaeus.
Yeah, well, it's biblical, isn't it? Zacchaeus, Jesus came to his house and he said, you know, you need to make restitution. You have to pay everyone back. So actually there is a good biblical principle for it, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and that's what we're saying, is that sometimes working out the reality of it, the practical reality of it, because it's so easy for us to make it all this mental thing that I say, okay, I've got an idol of greed, well, okay. But when you can do something physical,
yes,
somehow that's very important. Of course, God came in the flesh. He didn't just, you know, talk to us from the clouds. He came to us in the flesh. This is an important part of walking out one's faith. But I just love the idea that while you're preaching on the Ten Commandments, you're giving people this opportunity. I really do think that it's freeing for people. There's a delight when people can actually do something.
Eric, so therapeutic. I came to receive Christ as a student in London. And a couple of days later, I felt very uncomfortable that I had these books on plastic surgery, because I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. And I'd stolen the books. There was one particular encyclopedia on plastic surgery that cost
Now I'm confused. Did you have a problem with the fact only that you had stolen them, or did you have a problem with the fact that you had books on plastic surgery?
No, I wanted to be a plastic
surgeon.
You don't
have a theological issue with plastic surgery.
Oh, no. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a
doctor. Because this is not the nose I was born with, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
I want you to know.
No.
That's a joke.
I'm saying, though, Eric, was no one told me, and I felt I should take them back to the store.
Yeah.
So I go back to the store. Again, I'm a very young Christian, only a few days, and I go into the store and I say to one of the assistants, hey, I've got books that I stole. I want to return them. And she looked at me as though I was an alien that had just landed from another planet. Anyway, speed up the story. I'm sitting in front of the director of this huge book department in London called Foyles. He said, tell me. I said, I stole these books.
Why couldn't you just dump them off and run? Why do you have to deal with this stuff?
I just felt I should take them back. And
but why do you have to, you know, it's just fascinating to me that you had to sit there with the director of it.
I know. And then I said to him, but I met Jesus last week.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus told me to bring them back.
Yeah.
And he said, do you realize I could call the police now? And that never occurred to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, my Greek mum's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he said, I've never, ever come across this before. He says, you're free to go. So picking up on your point a moment ago, Eric, I walked out of his office. There was like five stairs, but I just jumped all five stairs. I was free. There was cleansed.
Yeah.
I experienced this cathartic experience,
and
I was liberated.
Well, it's interesting because since I wrote a biography about Martin Luther, it's very easy for people to sneer at how the Catholic Church made living out the faith very practical to the point of preposterous and idolatrous. But you can see how people are longing for a right way of somehow practically living things out. That's not wrong. It needn't all be mental assent. We have to embody things, and sometimes repentance can be embodied. And what you're talking about is a beautiful example of that. That we really do long for that as human beings. The Lord
Absolutely.
Created us to long for that.
And the thing is, each commandment there's good news. So I'll give you an example. And Killy and I have worked through all of these commandments. And let's take the one on murder. Okay, don't let your anger get so out of control that you take a life. Okay? Now, then what's the application? Well, if you look at the Bible, a man called Moses murdered, a man called King David murdered, and a man called Paul murdered. But God took three ex-murderers to write most of the Bible.
That's a happy redemptive story. But it is interesting that God would also, in his mercy to us, allow these three figures that we are tempted to worship or idolize to show us that they had more than feet of clay, that they were sinners in such a dramatic way. It's interesting that even that's part of God's plan, that to have Paul standing by as Stephen is stoned, to have Moses in his anger murder an Egyptian, and of course to have David effectively murder Uriah the Hittite. It's interesting that the Lord would arrange that so that these greatest of figures would be seen as having had to repent of the worst type of sin, murder.
And to
be actually honored in the Bible, aren't they, as well, even despite their flaws, which I think is an amazing thing about the grace, isn't it? The grace of God that, we can have that forgiveness if there is repentance. So,
What I'm fascinated by every time I sit down with J. John, I got to say, is that you seem to think like in sermon illustrations, or you seem to think it's the way God made you. When you talked about, the three times that God writes with his finger, that seems like a perfect sermon. I think to myself, I want to preach that. That's beautiful.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with what you just said about David and Paul and Moses. It seems to be, were you always that way? Because you seem to think in a very organized, kind of cheerful way. It's just very helpful somehow.
Well, we've known each other 42 years. Mm. Go on, was I always like that?
Well, you're fairly cheerful, I have to say. He is a cheerful guy.
Would you say that he can be annoyingly cheerful?
Well, you know,
he's very positive.
There's people, you know, the glass is half empty, and then there's glasses half full. But we're the glasses overflowing, aren't we?
I try to be. I'm not.
Try to be.
Probably as good as you, but
yeah.
There are some people, Eric. There's some people who create happiness wherever they go, and there are some people who create happiness whenever they go. You know, I don't think
he's got a million of them.
But the thing is, as Christians, look, come on. In the words of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm immune to suffering and I'm immune to other things.
Of course.
But you press on.
One presses on, doesn't one? You've neglected sufficiently to promote your book, Heroes of the Faith, which we will mark down as false humility. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Heroes of the Faith. This is such a beautiful book. It is 50 stories of heroes of the faith, but just so beautifully produced. So as soon as we come back, we will leap back into that subject with J. John and Killy. Don't go away. Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton called Giza, these sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com. And click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Metaxas at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Eric at checkout. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code Eric. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Welcome back. We're talking to Canon J. John and his wife, Killy. And we're talking about many things, but we're wanting to promote this gorgeous book, Heroes of the Faith. I keep saying how beautiful it is. It really is like a coffee table book. Not like a gigantic coffee table book, but nonetheless larger than your average book. And very beautifully produced. There are a number of figures on the cover whom I don't recognize. Who is this dour-looking woman here on the lower, on the right, just below Chesterton?
I think that's Gladys Aylward. And your listeners may remember the film with Ingrid Bergman.
Yes.
Aha.
Inn of the Sixth Happiness.
Yes.
Which was her story, slightly dramatised.
Yeah.
But she was an amazing woman, very small lady, who wanted to go from the UK to China to serve, but you know, she wasn't a healthy person. But she ended up going and doing the most amazing work out there. And in fact, she led children out from an orphanage to a place of safety when there was the sort of one of the Chinese wars.
Wow. And then following Gladys, we see Apollo Kivebulaya.
Oh.
Kivebulaya. Who is Apollo Kivebulaya?
Again, what we did in the book, Eric, we tried to draw from different cultures, different countries, different continents. And the reason I put him in the book is because you've got this man who had an incredible influence in his generation as a preacher, and he's unknown.
I was going to say, he's born in 1864 in Uganda, what has become Uganda. And it's funny because I wrote a book called Seven Men and a book called Seven Women and another book called Seven More Men. And it's wonderful when you can insert someone who's virtually unknown,
yes,
knowing that people who are thrilled to read about C.S. Lewis and Bonhoeffer or whatever will stumble upon this other figure. But so tell us a little bit about him.
And again, I think his humility, just the humble guy from a very poor background who encounters Jesus and just wants to serve Jesus. And, you know, in some ways becomes the Billy Graham of his era.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And yet we've not heard of him.
Yeah.
But there are tens of thousands of these types of people, which is a huge encouragement that God knows them all. Yeah.
Well, I just turned the page and I bump into James Clerk Maxwell. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with my book, Is Atheism Dead? I wrote a book recently, fairly recently, called Is Atheism Dead? And the story of Maxwell, without any question, the only person in the history of the world who could be thought of as the equal of Newton or Einstein is Maxwell.
Yes.
And yet he's not known in the way that Einstein and Newton are known, but he was as profound a Christian as any who ever lived. And that was why I wrote about him in my book. But I'm thrilled to see that he's made his way into your book.
And Einstein had a portrait of him in his home.
It's kind of funny because I think Einstein once kind of cracked, somebody said to him, they compared Einstein to Newton, and he corrected them. And he said, no, Maxwell. You know, he basically he pointed to Maxwell before Newton.
That's right.
Yeah. Because Maxwell, but the level of genius of Maxwell, it's a little frightening, but then you realize that he was just profoundly Christian.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, he lived fairly recently. This is not like, you know, you can say, oh, this was in the 1500s when everybody believed in God. No, this was at a time when much of the Western world had already turned against God in the intellectual circles and stuff. So,
and in those circles, Eric, in the circles of academia, he was very open about his faith.
Yeah.
And people knew that. And again, we find that encouraging.
We do. Excuse me, sorry. But also, what's so lovely is that at the end of each section, there's a few little points about how we can sort of learn from them as well, which I think is really helpful in the book.
Now, I've noticed there, Eric, you just looked at Holman Hunt.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Holman Hunt, who painted this, The Light
I've
of
seen,
the World.
I have seen the original.
Have
I'm
you?
I'm sure you have. It's either in Oxford or Cambridge. I always forget which one.
One is in St. Paul's Cathedral and one's in Oxford.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is, well, so this book of 50 Heroes of the Faith, titled Heroes of the Faith, includes all kinds of people and several painters. William Holman Hunt is most familiar for his painting of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. It's called The Light of the World. And I did have the privilege of seeing the one, not in St. Paul's, but in, did we say Oxford?
Oxford, yes.
In Oxford,
yes. And what's lovely about that, that became a bit of a postcard.
Yeah.
And there was a generation when that God used it to help people in their journey of faith. And that's based on Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. If anyone hears his voice, open the door, let him in. And they had to restore that painting recently, Eric. And they took it down. They had to take the frame off and just do some restoration.
Yeah.
And as they took the back off, they didn't. It was not known to them that Holman Hunt had written on the back of the painting. And he wrote these words, "Forgive me, Lord, for keeping you waiting."
Oh, we'll be back with more. The book is Heroes of the Faith. J. John and Killy John are my guests. Welcome back. I'm talking to J. John and his wife, Killy, and I'm looking at this beautiful book, Heroes of the Faith. Now, people always ask me this question. They say, Eric, where can we get your books? And I always think, what a dumb question. And yet, I'm tempted nonetheless to ask you that question. I assume we can get this in the normal places. Is there a place where you would like us to go if we're going to get a copy of this book?
Well, if you're in America, the best place is Amazon. If you're outside of America, jjohn.com.
Not canonjjohn.com?
Well, either or.
Really?
We just
jjohn.com?
We just bought it.
I love it.
I know, we've been trying to buy it for ages.
Yeah.
He wouldn't sell it to us.
Right.
But he decided
jjohn.com.
Sounds better, doesn't it?
jjohn.com. I like it. I like it.
Thank you, Eric.
jjohn.com. Well, I want people to go to jjohn.com just to discover more of you. I think people can tell how delighted I am that you're here with us in New York in the studio. And but I'm particularly delighted by this book, and I know they can read more about you at jjohn.com. You have, my goodness, Harriet Beecher Stowe, William Booth, Elizabeth Elliot, the second person in the book I've had the privilege of meeting in person.
Wow. Did you?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I was very close friends with her brother, Thomas Howard, who is practically my favorite author. My goodness, he is just the greatest. He wrote a book called Chance or the Dance. I interviewed him at Socrates in the City after you and I spoke at Socrates in the City a few years after that. But I met Elizabeth Elliot here in New York, and she's, of course, most famous for her book Through Gates of Splendor,
yes,
which talks about the murder of her missionary husband, Jim Elliot, in the 1950s. But just so many wonderful figures in this book. And it looks like it's been written in a way that you could use it for homeschooling as well. I hope people will do that.
That's what we hoped, didn't we, Killy?
Great. I think it's great for adults, but also for children, you know, who are being particularly homeschooled. I'd imagine that would be fantastic,
yes.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, there's information there. It can be devotional. Even for preachers and pastors, there's lots of stories and quotes. And
yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, the way it looks, people can't see it, but I can tell you folks that it would be a perfect book for a young person or to use in homeschool. There's no doubt about it. You have in the beginning of the book the famous Augustine of Hippo.
Yes.
Hippo being a city in North Africa. So you reach all the way back to the 4th century. Is that the earliest figure historically? I think it is.
Yes. Do you know one of my favorite stories is of this mother, Eric, who brought her son up to be a Christian, and he went off to university and he rebelled, and he not only rebelled but preached against his family and against his family's faith, and he got into wine, women and song and got involved in all sorts of things, and she just prayed. 9 years later, so he'd rejected Christ. 9 years later, he had an epiphany. The mother's name, Monica, the son's name Augustine.
I mean, he's one of the most influential Christians who ever lived. And very important that we know what history we can about the faith, because there are a lot of people, of course, they think that the faith leapt from John at Patmos, you know, to Wittenberg, Germany, or to Azusa Street in 1906. They don't understand this beautiful tradition
Absolutely.
Of faith. But I found someone even chronologically earlier than Augustine of Hippo, the famous John Chrysostom, who was in the 4th century, because Augustine is the 5th century, am I right?
Yes,
I think.
But you know, what's so great about that story about Monica and
Augustine? No, I'm wrong. They're both in the 4th century. My apologies to you. But Chrysostom was born just a few years earlier than Augustine. Okay.
But what I'm encouraged about that story about Monica and Augustine is that if anyone tuned in now who's got a prodigal, don't despair.
Yeah.
Just keep loving. Keep faithful.
Yeah.
And there's that verse in Romans, as much as it lies within you, keep the peace. Mm. And let's just pray that the prodigals will remember, return, and rejoice.
Well, it's not biblical to badger someone into the kingdom of God. And I think oftentimes parents are tempted to do, we're all tempted to do that, but parents particularly are tempted to do that. And it's difficult to keep one's mouth shut, but sometimes that's exactly what the Lord's plan would be for us in evangelizing those we love. I'm just delighted flipping through this book because it's so beautiful. You also have George Mueller.
Oh,
talk a minute about George Mueller.
Gone, Killy.
So he was from the UK as well, down in Bristol, in the southwest of England, and he just had the most amazing faith. So there's a great story because he set up orphanages for children, and there's a great story about where they had no breakfast, and so basically he said to the children, let's all just pray before the food arrives. So they all prayed, and literally there was a knock on the door, and the milkman had broken down. He had like a wagon or something, and he said, you need to take all my milk. So they had milk, and then they got bread from somewhere else. And he was lived totally by faith, and just prayed about everything, didn't he?
He did. And when Killy said he lived totally by faith, he did. He ran, I mean, there must have been 10,000 orphans that he looked after.
Yeah.
And he never asked anyone for any money. He trusted God.
Mm. This is an important book. I am really delighted to see it and delighted to have both of you here. I'm glad that you come to New York once in a while.
Thank you.
It's the only thing keeping me here, Albin. I just want you to know. So, Canon J. John, jjohn.com, and Killy, thank you so much. And congratulations on Heroes of the Faith. Magnificent.
Night, a big old house gets lonely. I guess every form of refuge has its price. And it breaks her heart to think her love is only given to a man.
I continue talking with Todd Chapman, who's with the CSI, Christian Solidarity International, enabling us to participate in freeing slaves in Sudan. It's just an amazing thing. Now, Todd, let me ask you, clarify, because there's some people think like, oh, I don't want to help the slave trade by giving money because that makes slaves more valuable. Explain how that's not the case. And I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the slaves that we're freeing in Sudan, they've actually been, they were taken captive, many of them, most of them women and children. They were taken captive when they were children. Now, decades later, they're women. They've had children in captivity, but they were taken during a time of religious strife in that country. All of that has ended. The act of taking of slavery has been abolished years ago. But when that happened, what didn't happen was there was no provision made in that legislation, in those negotiations, to actually free the more than 100,000 people that had been taken captive. And so those are the people that CSI has been working to free in the intervening years. And every year we're able to free, thanks to generous folks like you, upwards of 1,500 slaves who have, again, spent decades living just absolutely horrendous lives in captivity. I mean, they're beaten, they're abused, they're forced to convert from Christianity to Islam, rape, all sorts of unspeakable abuse. They've had children in captivity. But every year we identify, we negotiate the freedom for these slaves. No cash is involved. Many of these slave owners are actually cattle ranchers, and we're able to barter a cattle vaccine that they desperately need in exchange for these for freeing these slaves. And then we bring them back from North Sudan to South Sudan. There's a great reunion celebration, big feast, dancing, music, all the beautiful things. Whenever possible, we reunite them with their family, get them back to their home village. It really is a big homecoming. But Eric, you're right. I mean, this is not an ongoing problem in Sudan. We're just trying to free people that again have been held captive now for decades. And we've freed more than 100,000 people, but there's tens of thousands more. And so your generous gift right now will allow us to free even more of these precious people.
And to put it negatively, if you give nothing, they will stay enslaved. So this is an opportunity, folks. There's a finite number of human beings currently enslaved. CSI has made it possible to free them now. There's not a ongoing slave trade. So the number is finite. We can get it down to zero. You who are listening can get this down to zero. So the key is to get everyone who listens to this program to participate. Folks, I want to say it again. It doesn't matter what you give. As long as you give something, it adds up. So I want to invite you, go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Right at the top of the page, you'll see MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner. You can do whatever you like, but this is a magnificent opportunity. We've just got days left in the campaign. If you haven't done it, there's still an opportunity to do this. Next month, we're not talking about this. So I'm just begging you to get serious today. If you'd like to call, some of you can do that more easily. The number is 888, obviously toll free, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. There are folks out there who can give a lot of money, can free a lot of slaves. I want to encourage you, whoever you are, wherever you are, at whatever level you're able to participate, this is a sacred opportunity. It does not get clearer and simpler than this opportunity. CSI has teed it up, but we need you to step up. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com or call the number 888-253-3522. And Todd Chapman, thank you for what you're doing. God bless you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.